This is, we're on part B of the Faces of Love, Redefined Relationships. And last week, you know, this is pretty radical and pretty different, and I know that for a lot of you it's kind of hard to digest. But we focused on how when we become believers, God fundamentally wants us to redefine, reprioritize, you know, and just basically change the nature of all our relationships. And he requires this. God wants us to prioritize his voice and his instruction in our lives over everything and everyone else. That means no one else and nothing else is to have a higher priority. And that includes our family relationships, our cultural responsibilities, our duties, our obligations, our traditions, or even our religious customs. And number two, he wants us to prioritize in our lives the relationships that we have with those who do the will of the Father. In fact, we're to consider those who do the will of the Father as our fathers, our mothers, our brothers, and our sisters. In other words, the people that whom God has brought into your life, those who truly are on that path where they're seeking the Lord's will, they are your new family. And therefore, they become your new priority. And if you really believe, okay, the truth, and choose to make cataclysmic changes in accord with the truth, okay, in all your relationships, then you're obviously headed for conflict, okay, at multiple levels. So we're going to try to understand tonight our responsibilities and what they are to those, okay, who are in our lives, especially those who do not seek the will of God. Those people who are either unbelievers or who are believers but have totally just are living for the flesh and have given over to their old man and their old nature. And we're going to try to understand specifically how we're to deal with that in our lives. Mm-hmm. Next week, we're going to talk about, you know, our responsibilities towards each other in the family as new family members. But before we look at kind of our responsibilities, I want to address our motivation. Okay, God asks us to make these radical changes in our lives, in our perspectives, in our attitudes, and in our relationship choices. But it's important that we understand why. And God does not require this of us because he wants to be exclusive, a separatist, or because he's just itching to pick a fight, okay, and to bring trouble into our lives. Remember, God is love. And in this series, we're talking about the many faces of his love. Therefore, we must understand that this instruction begins, it ends, and it is enmeshed in his love for us and his love for others. We may not understand it, and we may not even really conceive why God would ask us to take such seemingly harsh and drastic steps. But here's the thing. We are not to second-guess God and substitute our own wisdom for his. Okay? Our own wisdom has never really served us that well, and it always leads us down the wrong road, that broad path that leads to destruction and pain. So we're to trust that God is God and that he is love, and therefore his instruction regarding our relationships is what is best for both our lives and the lives of those whom we love or those whom we have relationship with. You see, the Father knows that unless we love him more than we love anyone or anything in this life, there will always be idols that stand, okay, in our heart and that kind of like position themselves between us and God and our fellowship with him. There will always be something or someone with a higher priority and a greater authority in our lives than him. As a result, his voice, which all of us have tried to hear so desperately, will be drowned out, okay? And we will not be able to help but have their voices in our face just going, going, and going. And it'll be very difficult to not listen to their demands and their incessant cries for attention. And inevitably, all of this works against our ability to experience the ultimate in Christianity, which is Christ living in us and Christ living through us. References for that you can write down here are John 14, 8 through 14, Galatians 2:20, Ephesians 4:5, and Colossians 1:27. You want a pen, Leslie, that works? Okay, we won't change the slide yet. So God knows that we must love him. That's the only way. He also knows that if we prioritize our relationships with unbelievers or with believers who are given over to their flesh, okay, he knows that we're going to be unequally yoked. If you know or get a word picture of what that means, if it's unequal, that means the big cow is just dragging around the smaller cow. The big cow always wins and is always in control. In other words, if we present ourselves to this world and the relationships in this world in any way, shape, or form, we will be conformed to its image. Now, we talked about this a lot in the past, and it seems like this kind of like hits people and bounces off. It like goes maybe, you know, half an inch into their body and then just kind of repels because we're so drawn to everything and everybody in the world. But God brings us these instructions because he's serious, okay? If you present yourself to the relationships of those in the world, you will be conformed to their image. And before long, when you look in the mirror, you'll not be able to identify the image of your Father in heaven. But you'll look like everyone else, okay, who's beholden to the world, to its system, and to its ways. Scriptures for that are in Romans 12, 1 and 2, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. In contrast, okay, we are to follow Christ's example in all things, and we are to be maniacally focused on making God our priority and the ultimate authority in our life. After all, Jesus never lived to do what he wanted to do. He said that he only lived to do the will of the Father. That's John 6:38. Jesus also said in John 4:34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Now, this work that Jesus is talking about, the Father's work, okay, concerns his act of redemption of mankind and his effort to reconcile all things into his Son, Jesus Christ. That's in Colossians 1, 18 through 22. And this is the Father's desire. This is his will. Therefore, he wants us, those of us who are his new creations, those of us that he has birthed new, okay, he wants us to, you know, live like his sons, so that he can accomplish that work through us and we can be a part of this ongoing effort of redemption and bringing reconciliation of lives and rejoining lives to God. He wants us to be his instruments, his vessels, and his possessions. So that what we're doing, we studied it last week in 1 Peter 2:9, we're proclaiming his excellencies and the goodness of God to others. In 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21, let's read. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So it is because of this very fact that we have been appointed by the creator of the universe to be his ambassadors, okay, the ambassadors of his love. That's why we're to prioritize his voice, okay, above all things in our life, and prioritize the relationships with those who are on the same path of seeking God. And he requires this from us first and foremost for our safety. Because again, we've said this before, God's motive is love, and we are never safer, more secure, and more protected than when we are living in the center of God's will for our lives. And he knows that when we are obsessed on him, and when doing his will becomes so vital to our very existence, like the food we eat, okay, that is the safest place we can be. And secondly, he requires this because he desperately wants others to have an opportunity to be reconciled to him. And this reconciliation, okay, comes through us. When we are positioned, when we are aligned in relationship with God, okay, such that we walk according to his will and he's able to live his life through us, then we actually are his mouth, okay? We are his hands, and we do bring people to that place where we can introduce them to the Father. So does this make sense at all in terms of his instruction to us? It may sound harsh, it may sound cold, exclusive, and is inevitably disruptive. You know, at least to many people in our lives, it will be very disruptive. But here's the thing, it is overwhelmingly loving to us and to them, because he wants them to have an opportunity to get to know him. So our responsibility to unbelievers and to believers who do not seek or even know the will of God for their lives. As you can expect, those who are on the other end of this reprioritizing of your relationships, this redefinition of your family, they will not understand what you are doing, and they are not going to be very happy about it. In fact, you can expect to receive anger and probably some pretty harsh reactions from people. They're going to feel as if you are rejecting them. They're going to be hurt. They're going to be confused. They won't understand why you can't be in relationship in the same way. And they're going to feel attacked. And as a result, you know what they'll do? What most people do when they feel attacked? They'll attack back as a way to kind of protect themselves or a way to keep themselves from feeling as much hurt. Some people will even try to pull scripture out on you and say, see, you're not loving, you're disobedient, you're disrespectful, you're rude, or you're self-righteous. And here's the reality. They just feel threatened in one way, shape, or form. What they thought they had in you, what they hoped to have in you, what they thought they possessed or controlled in you, okay, is gone. All their normal comfort level of relating to you, hanging out with you, and even, you know, their normal ways of manipulating you is now altered. And this is understandable because you're not the same person anymore. You're a new creation in Christ, and God is now your sole authority. And because you have this new nature, the very basis for your fellowship with people has also changed. When it was once the priorities of the world and the pleasures that this world has to offer, it is now centered on the fact that you are an agent of reconciliation between them and God. Therefore, as part of our redefining our relationships, it's important that we learn how to start to connect to other people and relate to them on the basis of God's love. I mean, after all, if we're going to be introducing them to God, and that's God's purpose for our lives, okay, it can no longer be on the basis of what this world has to offer. It has to be on the basis of him. Personally, I found it very helpful in the midst of kind of reactions and personal attacks to communicate the simple truth to people. Look, I say, I'm not rejecting you. I'm not being mean. I'm not being cruel. But you have to understand, I must love the Lord God with all my heart, with all my mind, and with all my soul, or I will never be able to truly love you. I will never be able to love you for real, at least not with that kind of selfless love that is free from need, want, and control, and which is not enmeshed in just purely self-interest at the core of the relationship. I encourage you to let people in your life know this. Know that you're not rejecting them. You're not throwing them away. But you must first and foremost be given over to the one who truly loves you. And it is only then that you will be able to adequately share his love with them. You also have to keep in mind, you are not going to be responsible for their response. They may absolutely decide that they don't want your message. They don't want your God. And at least they don't want him now. They don't want to be reconciled to him now. And you know what? That's okay. In that case, do not force it. You must let them go. And like God, you must honor their choice. We're going to look at a passage in Luke that captures this entire idea. This is the instruction Jesus gave his disciples right before he sent them out to all the towns and villages that he planned to visit. And we're going to take a little interesting look at this. So Luke 10, 1 through 12. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples. 72 other disciples. Sorry about that. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them on ahead in pairs to all the towns and villages he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is so great, but the workers are so few. Pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send out more workers for his fields. Go now and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take along any money or a traveler's bag or even an extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter a home, give it your blessing. If those who live there are worthy, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. When you enter a town, don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide you. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. If a town welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you and heal the sick. As you heal them, say, "The kingdom of God is near you now." But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, "We wipe the dust of your town from our feet as a public announcement of your doom." And don't forget, the kingdom of God is near. The truth is, even wicked Sodom will be better off than such a town on the judgment day. This set of scriptures offers us so much understanding as to our relationships with those who do not seek the will of God. For some of you, this is going to be challenging because you have not approached relationships in the way that God has prescribed. Rather, you've made yourself vulnerable and open to those people who really don't care to follow the will of God. And some of those people may still be in your life. And I guarantee you, they're expecting you to behave and to do exactly as you have always behaved and done. Therefore, I'm going to tell you, if you truly care about these people, if they're really your friends, or if they're really someone that you love, okay, if you're really concerned for their soul, you have to reprioritize and redefine your relationships in your heart. And you have to trust that God knows, you know, what is best for these friends of yours to get to know the love of God. So based on Luke 10, we discover the following. Number one, we are to understand that God has a plan. Back it up one thing. Notice that he sent his people on ahead to all those that he planned on visiting. Okay? In other words, there's people that God has chosen to hear the good news about Christ. And he wants them to see his glory in and through our lives. Thus, the relationships that God brings us into with people who are not believers or do not seek the will of God are intended to be extremely purposeful. They are not random. And as I said previously, God wants others to experience him, and we are his vehicle for communicating God's desire to be in relationship with these people. Number two, we must remember that if we make ourselves vulnerable in these relationships, okay, look what it says about the wolves and the lambs, okay? We will either be wounded or we will die. Wolves always kill the lambs. It's like rock always crushes scissors, okay? Lambs are not capable of either defending themselves or attacking back. We must remember, okay, we have been sent by God into the midst of danger. And that is why we are to approach these relationships as God instructs. That way we can be safe and protected. Thus, we are not to view these relationships as though they belong to us with anything personally to gain or lose. This is new. This is radical. Most of us have never learned to, you know, set relationships in their proper order. And we just wind up getting hurt all over the place all the time. But in these relationships, people who are not our new family, God wants us to be safe and protected because we are lambs. They are wolves. Therefore, we can't approach them as with ownership and as if something to gain or lose. I want to help you understand this concept. When a person who does not belong to the Father, okay, everyone who doesn't belong to the Father is an enemy of Christ. And I'm not saying that they are purposely hateful and defiant and are like, "I hate you, God." I mean, they probably don't even know that they're an enemy of Christ. It is just a spiritual reality. It is the truth. In the same way that each of us have the sinful nature in our bodies, okay, we are told in Romans 8, 5 through 8, that it is always hostile to God. It is never a friend of God and can never be, and it can never please God. With this truth in mind, okay, we're told that even Jesus himself never, never trusted himself to anybody because he knew what was in the heart of man. In Luke 2, 24 through 25, we're told that no one needed to tell him about human nature. He knew it, therefore he didn't give himself to people in that way where he was going to be vulnerably exposed. And in the same way, we're not to ever trust ourselves or make ourselves vulnerable to those who do not seek the will of God. We're to know, even though there's a nice peace on the outside and we can enjoy them on the outside, we're to know that at the core, okay, what they are really like. They are an enemy of Christ and they will be like a wolf. Therefore, we are to keep a boundary of protection. This is wise and this is the way of Christ. So first of all, in these relationships, you are to discern whether an individual, okay, in your life is an appointment from God or whether it's a product of your own desire. If this person has not been appointed to you by the Father, you are not to be investing yourselves into their life. And I know that it sounds harsh, but again, it's for your protection and for theirs. See, God knows who is the perfect person to send to be that light and to be that message into their life. And if it's not you, he's got someone else in mind. And in his plan, he wants them to be able to communicate. And he doesn't want you in the way. And he doesn't want you messing up that plan. So if you truly love them, if you truly care for them, if they're really your friend and you want what is best for their life, then you need to back off and keep that boundary and that distance. Second, as you enter into a relationship, okay, that God has appointed for you, this is tough, but you are not to have anything emotionally, physically, psychologically attaching you to them. Okay? Again, you're to have healthy boundaries. The foundation of which, okay, of these boundaries is your knowledge that you are the person that God has chosen to bring the message of his love into their lives. You are God's instrument of reconciliation. You guys have to remember this. We didn't become Christians just to become Christians, to be part of a club. Okay? We belong to God, the Father, the creator of the universe, and we are his ambassadors. That's an incredible assignment. Each of you have purpose and meaning. And God has these plans that he wants you to fulfill in your life. You have to take him serious. You have to believe that this is true. And you have to seek to walk in this way. The reason God wants these boundaries, I'm going to explain this a different way. If they reject you, if they attack you, the reason he wants a healthy boundary where you're not attached is then you are not going to feel that temptation to react back and attack them back because you have nothing to lose. And therefore, like Christ, you'll be able to be giving his love to somebody. And when they come after you, you're able to turn your other cheek, not try to bite back or fight back. That will shock them. They won't know what to do. And you have nothing to lose. You're merely a sheep whose life is protected by your shepherd. Nothing to fear, nothing to lose. Number three. In instructing the disciples not to take along any money, a traveler's bag, or even an extra pair of sandals, we are to understand that we're to enter into these relationships, not relying on our own capabilities, our own intellect, our own wisdom, our emotions, or our own provision for our lives. We're to be in a position where we rely solely on the wisdom and the resources that come to us from God. He will be our provision, and we will be without lack. So we are not to take any of these things along with us in these relationships. Always be in tune with him, seeking his wisdom. Remember, we studied. If you seek it, and you seek it like you would search for lost treasure, he will open his windows of wisdom and pour them in your life. And you will know how to find the right course of action every time. He says you'll know what is right, what is just, what is true, and what is fair. Those are your tools, okay? The spiritual tools that come from the wisdom of God. Number four, we're to only enter into relationships with those whom God sends us. Notice what it says. Don't stop and greet anybody on the road. In other words, we're to be focused on those assignments that God gives us. It may be one or two or maybe three, but that's who we are to focus on. We're to let God be at the center of all of that. We're not to be these free floaters, okay, seeking fulfillment, attachment, meaning, affection, or value in the fact that we can get others to stop on the road and talk to us and give us attention, okay? We must move beyond ourselves, beyond our self-obsession, and beyond our need to seek and fulfill our will. And we need to be focused on God's will for our lives. Now, before I move on to five, I want you to think about that. How often are we so distracted from hearing what God wants us to do? Because we're wanting input. We're wanting attention. We're wanting the people to be attracted to us. We want them to think we're cool. We want them to think we're hot. They want to think we're, you know, pretty studly. And yes, that's natural, but that is not how God desires us to be. It is natural for our flesh. It is not natural for the new creation. The new creation, like Jesus, lives only to do the will of God. Our flesh lives only to serve me, 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 me. The me monster. That is it. Okay? That's not how we're to approach these relationships. Number five. When you do enter into this relationship that God sent you to, let the blessing of God fall on that relationship. Okay? Let the blessing of God. If they are worthy, okay, if they are open, if they are willing to accept you and your involvement in their life in this way that you are bringing the light of God into the relationship, okay, in that context, it's okay to be open and to receive from them what they have to offer you in relationship. Okay, in that context where they've said, okay, I want to be in relationship with you, even though you're one of those, you know, Christians, okay, then it's okay for us to receive. It's okay for us to enjoy that relationship. But you must never forget that you are a lamb sent out amongst wolves. So even in that context, you still must be careful, but you are to enjoy that person and what they have to offer you in relationships. Number six, you're not to go about bouncing from person to person, as Luke recorded here, from house to house, as if you're some convert hunter, okay? Oh, well, this person, well, that person, you know, look at all these people who need Jesus.